Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to Three Guys Theologizing 3GT. Today we're talking about a shift that's happening right under our noses in the church. Do you like that? That's the introduction chat BT gave for me. How you doing today, guys?
Scott, that's a great, that was done with gusta and with musta. I think you should have just kept going with that and not actually revealed that chat gave you your introduction.
Well, it is clear that chat is better than me. Hey, do you know what's better than the Super Bowl? No, I messed that joke up. I'll start over. You know what's good about the Super Bowl?
No, Scott, what?
The baseball season's right around the corner.
There we go.
All right, thank you. So how are you guys doing today? I'm your one of your co-hosts, Scott Hunt. I'm joined, as typical, I don't want to say as always, because there are times that we miss, but I'm joined as typical with by my co-host Barry York out in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing well, Scott. And when you said welcome back, were you talking to yourself? Because you've been gone a while, so we're glad to have you back.
Welcome back. Yep, I am back. I'm sorry. Life gets busy, and I have to miss from time to time. And I appreciate your understanding. So yes, that welcome back was to me as well. Kyle, how are you doing? I don't need any guff from Barry.
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you so much for asking.
Have you been exercising your spiritual gifts lately, Kyle?
I don't have any. I have no idea.
You have one.
You know what? You've been absent. And my spiritual gift, I think, is in part being able to banter with you. But you've avoided us. And so it has been a while.
Now, consequently, I have been feeling much better about myself lately. So I have that going for me.
Well, we got to change that. You know, by the way, congratulations. I think it's important to recognize that your campaign is it's off.
Off and running.
It's on.
Good.
You mean it's on.
Good. That's what I meant. As soon as I said off, I thought people are going to think that he dropped out, and he didn't, because he's going to win. There's no monkey business with Scott. That's slogan. Right. No monkey business with Scott.
That's right. Do you have any opponents in this race, Scott?
I do. I have the same opponent as I had last time.
Oh, the former prosecutor.
Former prosecutor, yes.
Oh, my.
This is being set up as like a, man, it's like Donald Trump trying to come back into power. That's what your opponent is
that's
like.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And hopefully society will learn a lesson.
Hopefully.
It's good to be with you guys again. I do mean that. Kyle, would you like me to just continue with the chat GPT intro then?
Yeah, but I don't think you should be announcing that to people. Just own it, man.
Just own it? Okay, I'll do. Well, you know, today we're going to be talking about a shift that's happening right under our nose in the church. And honestly, it's probably in our own lives too, guys. More and more Christians, it seems, are getting their theological formation, their cultural analysis, and even their spiritual direction from people online rather than from their own pastors and elders. And so I kind of want to talk about that, maybe address some of that. Now, before we begin, I just want to tell our audience, you know, we're not anti-books. I mean, I know Kyle likes dead authors. He's mentioned that before. We're not anti-podcast, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing this. And we're not anti, sometimes we act like it, or we demonstrate it. But there is, it seems, to be honest, it seems to be a growing habit or a trend among particularly younger church members that rather than going to their local church to be fed by the shepherds of the church, that they're going online and maybe cherry picking sermons or studying certain topics. And I thought it might be a good idea to talk about that particular issue and how we should address it as elders and how we should encourage the young folks in our congregation to actually go about developing and forming like their theological base and their cultural analysis. Is that kind of the right track that we're on then?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I did ad lib a little bit in there. I'll just let you know. So I want to start by asking this question. Have you guys seen this problem in not necessarily your congregation, your local congregation, but at the church at large? Have you seen kind of a shift away from studying under pastors and instead studying under podcasts or maybe online articles or even sermon audio? Have you seen that in your life? Not necessarily with you, but people in your life that you know.
Yeah, but I might offer one quick qualification to that
Sure.
is I'm not sure that like a local pastor or elders have been entirely replaced, like I'm going over here rather than there. I think the pattern that I've seen, and this is true across the board, it's largely true, especially among a lot of young men, is that the most influential voices and kind of the voices that are most formative are not the ones that are coming directly in front of them, you know, their pastor, their elders, those whom Christ has called to be their shepherds, but the most influential and most formative is coming from those who do podcasts, who are social media influencers, even in our small circles, and things like that. And I think that's a very real live issue, you know, and that's been pointed out broadly speaking for maybe the last 20 years. You know, we sometimes talk about Big Eva, the big system that evangelicalism was, and there was a day in which it was like a lot of celebrity pastors, a lot of conferences, and you know, people would speak of those people and those experiences as, you know, those were some of the most significant to them spiritually. And I think that as social media has become more ubiquitous, and as social media has developed, you know, there used to be a day and age when social media, I was just talking to a friend about this recently. You know, you posted pictures of your food and your travels and whatever. And social media is a major influence on people's ideology, whether it's politics, whether it's theology. And I do think that we are seeing a massive shift. And if people were to be really honest, I think they would say it's those online spaces, audio sermons, podcasts, you know, social media platforms that are most influential, probably more influential at times than a local pastor or elders. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, the local church has been completely neglected and ignored. For me, it's a matter of influence.
Appreciate that, Kyle. But good thoughts there. Barry, you have anything to add?
I was at a conference over this weekend, and one of the presentations that another speaker gave was on the difference between, the younger generation. He was clumping them in bigger things than just Gen Z and millennials. It was more like 40 and under versus those over that age. And he was stating that, especially for the younger generation, that the influence of social media is really driving not just their theology, but really all of their life. They're getting so much of their values, their knowledge of what's going on in the world through these means. And so you can definitely see its impact as you minister to people and hear what they're talking about and where they're getting their information from and that type of thing. And I would say it's not just all negative. We can talk about this perhaps as we continue on. It's not just all of, I wouldn't say a negative impact, but it is certainly an impact that we need to be aware of in the church.
Yeah, so it kind of brings me to the first question that comes to mind is, what do you guys think that is the driving force behind this shift from sitting underneath good solid preaching at the local congregation to, you know, getting this information from online? I mean, is it ease of access? Is it lack of good teaching? Is it being disinterested? What do you think the shift is?
Yes.
Fair
So
enough.
I think that, I mean, ease of access is a major thing. You know, we live in a day and age, and you might not guess it from the overall maturity of the American church, but we live in a day and age when there is more available to our fingertips, you know, not just socially, but theologically as well and biblically, there's more at our fingertips than at any other time in human history. And I think it's you know, so I think ease of access. I think that many of our lives have naturally over the last decade and a half gravitated more towards digital spaces. And there's just, there's more ease, there's more comfort there. And again, that's not all necessarily bad. It's just the changing society in which we live. But I think that people look to online spaces for those very things. I think a lot of it, and maybe we can get more into this, I think a lot of it is that digital spaces, again, whether it's podcasts, whether it's sermon audio, whether it's social media platforms, they play a lot to, we can really create a catered diet for the things that we want to hear. We often talk when we talk about social media about how strong the algorithms are. And that's true, but we're all prone to do that in our own lives, right? Is I want to hear about this topic or that topic. And we're very want driven, I think, more at times than we are needs driven. Rather than asking, what do I really need? It's, well, what do I want to hear about? And so that digital access just gives endless opportunities then to be able to cater messages to those things that I want to hear. Obviously, you can't do that in a local church, and again, maybe we'll develop this more. But right, a pastor and elders in the church responsible for teaching and for shepherding, they're very concerned with what does the congregation need in front of me? Rather than, man, what is it that they want and what's really going to get them to stand up and yell amen and things like that. So I think it's a complication of many things is how I'd approach that.
I think along the lines of what Kyle's saying, you talk about the social media algorithms and them sensing what we want and then creating those algorithms to put that before us. We have to remember every decision that we're making on social media is helping form the algorithm. So we're showing these computers, in a sense, what we want, and then they're seeking to bring that to us. And I think that's a, and Kyle's really touching on this, that's the danger of social media, even for good things. So, we're not even talking about in this podcast all the evil things you could be choosing to go to on social media or the internet, but we're talking about someone wanting to listen to, I've heard a lot of young people talking about Paul Washer or just other famous Christians. They're going and listening and downloading, hours and hours and hours of their favorite theologian from, we could just name all kinds of names that they're listening to. And just recently I was saying, why as the church, why don't the elders look at all that's available out there? And like we might do for a Sunday school class where we'll go get a Ligonier teaching series and play some famous Christian who's very knowledgeable, theologian who's very knowledgeable on a subject or the history of the church, and we'll listen to that in a Sunday school class and have a discussion. Well, why don't we do the same thing for the sermon in our churches? Why don't we just take the best sermon series in the book that we want to study, or even a compilation of the best preachers in the world, and when it comes time to the sermon, create a wonderful sermon series by putting some device on the pulpit and pushing the play button and listening to this rich voice come across, probably better sounding than Kyle and I certainly are.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And certainly could preach better than either one of us can preach. That's that hard to see. And just so allow someone else to preach for our congregation. Wouldn't they be better edified and helped by such a message or such an approach? So it really leads then to what Kyle's touching on is the need to be listening to our own local leadership and why we should be doing that.
But I would
And
also add, maybe before putting off on that, I would also add that I think there's at least the perception at times of deficiency in local teaching. And I want to be very careful with the way I say deficiency. People can say, because this is not scratching my itching ear, therefore it is deficient. But it is something that as pastors, as elders in our teaching, shepherding, preaching, we do need to be attuned to, right? No, people don't always need to hear the things they think they want to hear about. And sometimes part of shepherding is directing people in, these are actually the questions you should be asking about your life rather than this whole question that you go and pursue on social media or whatever it is. So I want to be careful, but there can be deficiencies as well. I don't think it's always an unfair criticism that sometimes, especially in our circles in Reformed and in Presbyterian circles, we can have teaching and preaching that kind of lives in an ivory tower. And as long as it's theologically precise and, confessional and all of that, meanwhile, you have ordinary people going, my goodness, I wake up Monday morning and this isn't helping me. And so I do think we need to be fair about that sometimes people feel I'm not getting actually what I do need. Not just what I want. I'm not getting what I need, and I'm gonna need to go look somewhere else. And we have to be aware of that in our ministries.
I mean, isn't there a danger? And I'm not suggesting that any of my pastors, past, present, or future, would do this. But isn't there a danger of a pastor getting on his hobby horse and just speaking about the topics that they want and that interest them and not really delve into the things that are troubling, some of the younger folks in our congregation? I mean, is that a possibility?
Oh
Oh
yeah.
yeah.
I tell the students of
And
that.
not just hobby horses, right? There can be fear and timidity, right? And so people are asking this question, but boy, I kind of want to be non-committal. Because I know I'm going to make, I'm not going to make everybody happy. There's all kinds of reasons that you can kind of cater your teaching to the comfortable and in ways that are more appeasing to yourself than also, again, giving the congregation what they need.
Well, I guess, and we've kind of addressed this, but what do you guys see as the real issue with this kind of behavior? Like, when you boil it down, what's the problem with folks doing this instead of, I guess, relying on the local shepherds to direct and educate, turning to the social media? Where's the big issue, the big red flag? What is that?
I would say that if they're looking elsewhere for what they think they need, rather than really submitting themselves and learning from their local church, that would be a big problem. And particularly if we're talking about younger men, I often find that one of their difficulties can be the sense of pride. Like they can go and study something online and become incredibly knowledgeable about a certain subject, and it can be any range of things, and then come and think that their own pastor, and probably it's a right evaluation. Let's say it's a subject like apologetics or knowledge of a certain book of the Bible or whatever systematic theology. It could be any particular topic, and they could go and say, well, my pastor doesn't measure up to what I'm learning here. And they begin to foster a sense of pride because knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so they have to be really careful. I'm all for these resources. I think it's a wonderful gift God's given to his people to have all of this available to them. But we just have to handle it with care in the sense that we need to. I've seen young men think that they're gifted in some of these areas just because they've learned some things about them. But then, when it goes to actually applying it into the life of God's people or winning hearts over to truth, they're a train wreck because they're bashing people over the head with things. And the word literally becomes a hammer in their hand, and it's to be a hammer in the right sense of the word, but they use it wrongly, and because they haven't tempered it with the character and the true knowledge and love of Christ that all of our learning should lead us to.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I would add that I think one of the biggest red flags for me, and again, there can be a lot of good, but if we're talking on the negative side, the big red flag for me would probably just be summarized in that methods matter. The Bible, God recognizes that methods matter. And when this when different methods supplant the method that God has purposed primarily, then it's actually failing to take God at his word. And what I mean by that is, so let me start in 2 John. The Apostle John is writing a letter to the elect lady, which I understand to be a church. And he says, there's so much more that I want to write to you, but I'm going to wait until I come to you so that we can be face to face so that our joy may be fulfilled. Right there, you have an apostle saying, the things that I want to communicate are not to be communicated from a distance and in this impersonal way. I'm actually going to wait in my apostolic instruction until we are face to face, which literally means in physical proximity. We use that idiom today. God has purposed his church and he has purposed our shepherding and our discipleship to primarily happen, in that way. The relationship that Jesus intends between the elders and a congregation is a relationship that cannot be mimicked by online spaces. You think about the way that the Apostle Paul often characterized that reciprocal relationship. I often think of 2 Thessalonians, where Paul simultaneously, like a father, I exhorted and encouraged you, and like a nursing mother, we were gentle with you, right? Again, it's putting this familial reciprocal relationship of child to parent. And none of us would say, oh, that relationship is really satisfied, I'm a digital mom. I just interact with digital kids. No, we understand that requires actual relationship. It requires actual proximity. You think about what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4. Why is it that Christ has given ascension gifts to his church, being pastors and teachers, is so that together, speaking the truth in love, we might be built up into the fullness and maturity. And the vision there is not, it's not just some kind of universal ambiguous. It's in the context of the church. It's in the context of the community in which God has put us. So that's what I mean when I say it's not taking God at his word. God cares about the methods. He cares about the means. And he did not ever intend or purpose an online space or podcasts or even downloading somebody else's sermons to be the means that will mature and shepherd and disciple each of us. He, in his providence, that's to be found in the local church under local leadership.
Yes, in many ways, this takes us
Yeah,
back to some of our podcasts that we did on during the COVID era, where we were talking about how the
oh,
church
he brought it up. You brought up the four-letter word, five-letter word.
five-letter.
Five-letter word.
Counting on your fingers.
Yes. Or we talked about the deficiency of trying to have church online. And along what Kyle is saying, Christ became incarnate. He chose men to be with him. We have to be with people. We have, even in the seminary, we have structured our Master of Divinity program. You can do some things online, but we increasingly seek to encourage you to be on campus because we think so much spiritual formation takes place, not just on a just getting the knowledge that you can get online, or even only just sitting in a classroom, but actually having relationships with your professors, having re relationship with your fellow students. And that's just so imp that's even more important in the local church. You need to be with the people of God, all ages, stages, varieties. That's going to do so much for your soul to really sense what it means to be a member of the body. As you're listening to your pastor preach God's word to you, as gifted or as less gifted as he may be, God works in that context in a unique and spiritual way.
And Barry, you mentioned, whether he's less gifted or capable, but at the same time, right, I remember hearing this once, and I don't remember who I heard it from, but it left a profound impact. When your life starts to fall apart, and you get the bad doctor's report, or your marriage takes a drastic left turn, or God forbid, your child dies, it's not your podcast hosts that are going to be knocking on your door. You know, it's not your favorite celebrity preacher that's going to be praying with you in a hospital room. It's, you know, it's going to be your pastor. It's going to be your elders. And, you know, to just put it quite bluntly, John Piper doesn't care about your marriage, nor is he called to. So I don't mean that against him or you know, whatever other slide. I don't know. John Piper is the first one to come to mind. But, you know, but that matters, right? That matters is that that's why God has given us local shepherds.
So listening to you guys, and you both hinted around this, it could almost seem like you're saying these are bad things, and I don't think you're saying that, right? I don't think you're saying that, you know, a podcast is a bad thing to listen to, or you know, stop getting on social media to read this stuff, or you know, listen to other people's sermons. That's not what you're saying, right? I mean. Good. I
Correct.
have nods. You listeners can't hear that. Yeah, we are recording, Kyle. So take the mute off.
Yes, Scott, that's what I, it's
Hey.
not all bad.
I'm just looking for affirmation. So it leads to this question then. How do we channel, I guess, how do we get the hearts of our young people in particular, but the people who suffer from this, how do we win their hearts back to the local church? And use these resources in a godly way and not in a way that supplants the local church.
Well, I think in many ways, like if I had to weigh, the negative versus the positive of all these Christian resources behind, I just think it's wonderful. Like it's again a great gift of the Lord. On the Lord's Day evening, there was a visitor at our congregation, a man who was an Indian who was converted there in an amazing way, and God had directed his steps as he came to the U.S. Through online preachers as he began to be. The people who were answering his questions were men like Washer and MacArthur and Sproul and Piper. Those were some of the names he mentioned to me. And it was clear because those are basically good teachers, strong teachers of God's word, that one of the things he said to me is it was truth. It was truth that has directed my path. And the reason he was at our church is he'd just moved into the area and he had a NAPARC app. So he had an app that showed congregations in his area, and he's just visiting different ones to see where God would lead him. And even at the seminary, we're getting an influx of young men again, which has been really encouraging. And they're not just coming without knowledge; they're coming having, in the same kinds of ways, found help and resources, and their hunger is being satisfied with truth. And so I think in all, it's a very wonderful gift. You just can't use it to replace what the local church is to be doing in your life.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe I'm just super simplistic here. You know, I think it really is found in cultivating relationships, right? Our young people need to be shepherded and discipled to understand and appreciate for themselves. This is why Christ has given me a pastor and elders, men who are invested in my life. Men who care about me, men who will spend time with me, who will answer questions that I'm asking, who will do what's best. And I think, right, I mean, to put it this way, and I don't this maybe this is gonna sound weird to some people, but you know, you bring them in by showing them the necessity. Like we're not expendable, we're necessary to your life and we love you and we're here to shepherd you and disciple you. And I think that is really important. You know, I think a lot of young men gravitate to certain digital spaces because, in a sense, they find a degree of belonging. You know, there are certain questions that they are asking that some in digital space are just all too excited to be answering. And, you know, and whether or not all those questions are useful or even appropriate for pulpit ministry, they are real questions and they need to be addressed in some capacity. And so I think you need to show them why it is that Christ has purposed his church to be like this and not exclusively or most influentially like that.
No, I
So,
appreciate that. So go ahead, Barry.
oh, I was just going to add, along with what Kyle's saying, in this speaker I heard this last weekend, Brian Chappell. He was doing a comparison between, again, people younger versus more our my generation anyway. And one of the things he was talking about is, in the last few decades prior, a lot of the people who were influential in the media and starting in the beginning of social media were people who were against something. The Jerry Falwells, the Pat Robertson, we were against homosexuality, we were against abortion, we were against this, we were against that. But today, younger people are also hungry to say, well, given that, then what do we do in a positive way? And so he's talking about, if you're against abortion, a lot of people are asking, well, how can we minister to single mothers and help in that regard? Or instead of just being against homosexuality or against transsexuality, how do we witness and how do we win them over? And so I think that's something positively the church can really be answering for them, is that in our ministries, we should be showing them the way. Not to only just stand in a just way against evil, but then how to show mercy in the midst of it and seek to win them. You can't do that. You can't be like a Facebook warrior or be on X and win theological debates. You're not going to win them anyway because everybody's already set in their ways. But the way you're really going to win and influence people is by being involved in local churches, with pastors and elders and deacons helping you learn how to minister and take the theology and the truth that you're learning and figure out how to influence this coming generation.
Well, we are about out of time. I mean, I think one of the things that I'm kind of picking up here is that we don't have to throw out the proverbial baby with the bathwater, right? I mean, the access to good teaching is it's a blessing of the Lord. I mean, I'm sure back in the 15th, 16th century, people were lamenting the Gutenberg press, right? I mean, now we have all these books and everybody's saying whatever, and with technology comes pain. But also comes great blessing, and seems that I'm hearing that while these, podcasts and Facebook and all that, while they have some real dangers to them, they're also a blessing. So I guess in closing, how do we encourage our young people to use these gifts properly, as opposed to just ingesting them all?
Just tell them to only listen
I
to
would say.
3GT.
Yes, okay.
I think it well one is I think you always need to be careful and you always need a degree of self-doubt, right? The Apostle Paul characterizes these last times as days in which people will accumulate to themselves teachers who will scratch their itching ears. And that is something that we, we always need to be very discerning about. Okay, so why am I gravitating here? Are they just telling me what I want to hear? Two, I would say, avoid the temptation, and this is true in any accumulation of these things. These things have to promote godliness. If what you're listening to and what you're taking in and the answers that you're looking for do not have the net result of producing godliness, then it's a very unhealthy thing. But you need to learn how to wield these things in a way that actually then spiritually matures you and cultivates you. And third, you just have to see them as supplemental and subordinate to where God has providentially placed you. And that's maybe just a mental game at times.
One other thing I think is just fairly helpful is to be in fellowship with other people and sharing what you're listening to. It helps you to process it and to have someone else listening to the same podcast, or if especially if something appears to be very influential to you. And I would say this, we all need this, but I think it's very easy for young people to begin to get isolated and spend so many hours on social media and listening to things that they don't realize that some of the ideas that they're hearing are out of balance. And when you have to go and talk to someone older, some guys in your church who aren't going to be afraid to tell you that, well, that's stupid. I think conversations about what we're listening to are so important in terms of doing what Kyle's saying.
I appreciate that. And, as we kind of wrap this up, I do want to encourage our listeners to keep listening to 3GT. This is not a self-sabotaging episode here, right? We're not telling people to stop listening. We love what we do, and we hope we're a blessing to the church. But I think that we need to always be pointing people back to their local church and their local shepherd. Listen to us, think, hear things, consider things, but then go back to your local church, your elders, and speak through these things, talk through them, and get the direction of your pastor. Because like you said, Kyle, I would say John Piper probably does care about people's marriages, like it, but he's not as intimately involved, right? So he can't be as involved in trying to restore a broken marriage as your local pastor would. Do you agree with that?
Not really, but we'll say yes. My point, right? Go on.
Yes, Barry. You
Well,
raised your hand.
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I think people want to listen to 3GT and we should encourage that. And you just reminded me of an email we got from one of our listeners. I think it would be a good way to end the podcast. You usually need a little help with that, Scott, right?
Yes, always.
Okay.
Chat's not doing it for me.
So this email was sent to us. It's called An Ode to Our Favorite Co-host. Here it goes. The one who is missing was Scott, and really we missed him a lot. His kindly
Oh, for
ways, like
goodness.
sunshine rays, our favorite co-host is Scott. We miss you when you are away, and all of the things that you say. Barry and Kyle just don't have your style, so please be back next time, okay? Your voice is the best of the three. The other two just sound dorky. Your gentle voice, if we had a choice, we'd never again be scot-free. This podcast is just not as fun with 3GT minus the one. There's no one to blame. It just isn't the same. We'll wait the next podcast to come. So there you go, Scott.
And whoever
You
wrote that, thank
put
you.
the
I owe them
three
dinner.
in 3GT, man.
How about that? You're making me feel good.
Her
Well,
name
we
was
do thank you for
Maria.
joining.
Maria wrote that to
Yeah.
you.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you for joining us on 3GT. We hope we have been an encouragement to you today. I should have just left it with what Barry said. But we are glad that you have joined us, and we do look forward to joining you again next time on 3GT.